Praise the Lord. I said, praise the Lord. I welcome you to our Tuesday leadership development session tonight in Jesus' name. I'm asking the Lord that he will bless you, enrich your life, and make you the kind of leader that he wants you to be in Jesus' name. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for this hour. Thank you, Lord, for your word. Your word that will strengthen us, that will enlighten us, and to lead us the way we ought to go. We're asking, oh Lord, everything you reveal, you will store in our hearts in Jesus' name, and your work will prosper in our hands. Well, thank you, because we know you have answered. In Jesus' mighty name, we pray. Tonight, we're looking at 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 1 to 4. 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 1 to 4. In verse 1, the elders which are among you, I exhort, who am also an elder, and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, and also a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed, feed the flock of God, which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly, not for filthy lucre's sake, but of a ready mind, neither as being lords over God's heritage, but being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd shall appear, ye shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. Those verses introduce us to the commission and the duty, as well as the responsibility of the Christian leaders. And this commission is no mean assignment. It's a glorious duty that has eternal value with great rewards. All other great and good responsibilities that terminate here on earth have limited earthly benefits. Think about the good things you can do on earth and the great callings we have on earth, natural, physical, just in the community. All of those things, no matter how great they are and no matter how good they are, they terminate here on earth. But this commission we're given, this great privilege we have, is greater than all those earthly assignments. If there is any conflict between the heavenly commission and an earthly career, we should never drop the heavenly for the earthly. If the heavenly is the greatest, if the spiritual scene is the greatest, then whenever there is any challenge, any conflict between this heavenly assignment and the earthly responsibility, like many people do, we shouldn't drop the heavenly responsibility. On the other hand, we know that is the lesser opportunity that will go, because the heavenly one far outshines and reaches farther than the earthly. The heavenly vision must always take priority over earthly dreams. Tonight, as we look at these verses 1 to 4, the message is the most exalted commission of Christian leaders. the most exalted commission of Christian leaders. Three things we're looking at. Number one, the calling and character of faithful, fervent leaders. The calling and the character of faithful, fervent leaders. Point number two, our commission and commitment to freely feed the Islam. Our commission and commitment to freely feed the lambs. Number three, the compensation and the crowning of focused, fruitful leaders. The compensation and the crowning of focused, fruitful leaders. Coming back to point number one, the calling and the character of faithful, fervent leaders. Look at those two words, faithful. We have to be faithful to the calling the Lord has given us. And we have to be fervent as we carry out the work. The word of God tells us in 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 2. Moreover, it is required, in stewards, that a man be found faithful, that a woman be found faithful, that a leader be found faithful. We must be faithful to the calling the Lord has given us. And we must be faithful to the commission He lays quietly upon our shoulder. The responsibility and the duty, we must do it with all our heart, all our soul, all our mind, and be faithful. Romans chapter 12, verse 11. In Romans chapter 12, reading from verse 11, not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. As we're serving the Lord, in whatever capacity has called us, we must be fervent. We have an example of fervency in ministry in Acts chapter 18. Reading verse 25. Fervent minister, fervent leader, fervent preacher, fervent teacher. It tells us in Acts 18:25, this man was instructed in the way of the Lord, being fervent in the spirit. We're not sluggish, we're not dull, we're not weary, we're not working and laboring as if want the work to come to an end. We're tired, we're weary, want to go on sleep. It says Apollo was fervent in spirit. He spake and taught diligently the things of the Lord, knowing only the baptism of John. Even though he was limited in knowledge, limited in understanding, limited in experience, limited in training, yet he was still fervent, faithful and fervent. How much more those of us who have met the Lord, and those of us who know all the benefits of Calvary, and we know the commission and the calling He has given us, the calling and the character of faithful, fervent leaders. Let's come back to 1 Peter chapter 5. What's our calling? Number one is the calling of an elder. What's our calling? It's the calling of a witness. What's our calling? It's the calling of a partaker. What's our calling? It's the calling of a willing servant. What's our calling? It's the calling of a servant with a ready mind, ready anytime, ready for everything, ready for any assignment, ready for any work, ready day or night. A servant with a ready mind. What's our assignment and what's our calling? It's the calling of a servant that is not lording it over the congregation. What's our calling? is according to be an example, examples to the flock. Look at that one by one. As we think about our calling and our character, it tells us in verse 1, it says, the elders which are among you, I exhort, who am also an elder. We have the calling of an elder. By the way, what does that mean, an elder? There are some people that think they automatically become elders because of their age. They are older than most people in the congregation, and they want people to recognize them as elders. And the Bible even say, that's what they all say, that there are elders in the church. And so you have these self-appointed people because of their chronological age, number of years. They think that means you are an elder. Who's an elder? Let the word of God clear it up for us. We're looking at Acts of the Apostles chapter 20. Acts chapter 20. And I'm reading here from verse 17. And then from that verse 17, we go to verse 28. Acts of the Apostles chapter 20. And we're reading from verse 17. In verse 17, here is what it says. It says, and from Miletus, he sent to Ephesus, and he called the elders of the church. He called the elders of the church. And then he goes on to verse 18, and when they were come, he began to talk to them. See what he told them in verse 28. He's talking to the elders. Take heed, therefore, unto yourselves and to all the flock over the which the Holy Ghost has made you overseers. The people that were called elders in verse 17 that he called together, they are now called overseers to feed the church of God, which he has purchased with his own blood. They are overseers, therefore they oversee. Therefore they supervise, and therefore they also feed the church of God. They know the state of the flock. They know the might of the flock. They know the needs of the flock. And because of that, they take the appropriate word and they feed them, and they teach them, and they train them, and they give them responsibilities. He calls them elders. He calls them overseers. So it's not because of age. It's because of calling. We're looking at Titus chapter 1. And we're reading from verse 5. Titus chapter 1, reading from verse 5. It says in verse 5, for this cause left I thee in Crete, that thou shouldest set in order the things that are wanting, and to ordain elders. Elders are people who are ordained. Elders are people who are appointed. Elders are people who are put in position to ordain elders in every city, as I have ordained thee. And it's not going to show Titus the qualification of the elders that he must ordain, appoint. And here you'll not find age. You'll not find marital status. That is, whether married or not, it's not the most important thing. If the person is married, of course, he will have the proper understanding of what marriage for leaders ought to be. If any man be blameless, the husband of one wife, having faithful children, not, people who are grown up and are already married, but having faithful children, when those children are still under your roof, not accused of riot or unruly, for a bishop must be blameless. The people he called elders, that Titus was to appoint, they are here now called a bishop. He must be blameless. As the steward of God, he's also called steward. not self-willed, not soon angry, and not giving to wine, no striker, not giving to filthy lucre, but a lover of hospitality, and lover of good men, sober, just, holy, temperate. As he talks about the calling, he talks about the character. There'll be people who have the grace of God in their lives to be sober. There'll be people who have the grace of God in their lives. They have been justified and they are just. There'll be people that have gone further, deeper into Christian experiences. They're holy and sanctified. And there are people who are temperate. That's their character. Look at verse 9. Holding fast the faithful word as he has been taught. Elders are not just people who come to the church. And as members of the church, look at their age. They're in their 70s. They're in their 80s. They got converted last month. But you know, they're already 80. And because of that, automatically they become elders. No, not at all. Not at all. They're people who have been taught in the word. And they have been appointed either as a pastor, a teacher of the word. And because of that, or as overseer, and they are holding fast the faithful word as they have been taught, that he may be able by sound doctrine both to exhort and to convince the gainsayers. Elders are those who know the word of God thoroughly and are able to convince other people, persuade other people, compel other people to obey the word of God. Number two. A witness. Come back to 1 Peter chapter 5. And I'm reading here from verse 1. The elders which are among you, I exhort, who am also an elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ. A witness. That's what the Lord has called us to. He calls us so that we can be witnesses. And he tells us what it means and who are the people. As he talks about the calling of a witness, he also talks about the character of the witness. We're looking at Acts chapter 5. And I'm reading from verse 30. Acts chapter 5, we're reading from verse 30. In verse 30, here is what it says. And here is Peter talking the God of our fathers, restored Jesus. He died, he suffered, and we are witnesses, a witness of the sufferings of Christ, whom he slew and hanged on a tree. Him God exalted with his right hand to be a prince and a savior. We'll witness his suffering and we'll witness his sacrifice. And that's because the Father has appointed him a prince and a savior for to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins. And we are his witnesses. We are his witnesses. We saw him betrayed. We saw him crucified. We saw him killed, slain. He died. We saw him after the resurrection. And he committed the work into our hands. And we are witnesses. That's our calling. We come to witness that he is a savior. We come to witness that he is the one to redeem and to give forgiveness to everyone that repents. But look at the character. As he talks about the calling, he talks about the character. Verse 32. And we are his witnesses of these things. And so also is the Holy Ghost, whom God has given to them that obey him. We obey him because he is the one the Father has appointed. Number one is an elder, an overseer, a pastor, a preacher, and someone who knows the word of God, who has been taught the word of God, and is appointed and ordained to teach the people of God. Number two is a witness that is obedient to the Lord. Number three is a partaker. We're coming back to 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 1. The elders which are among you I exhort, who also am an elder, and the witness of the sufferings of Christ, and also a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed. It's talking about the future because of the experience of the present. It says, I am a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed. That's future. The glory is coming. The reward is coming. And because I'm a partaker now, I will be a partaker at that time. What does that mean? What was he a partaker of today that gave him the assurance he'll be a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed? Hebrews chapter 12, verse 10. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 10. For they verily for a few days chastened us after their own pleasure, talking about our fathers, earthly fathers, but he, talking about God, for our profit, that we might be partakers of his holiness. Without holiness, no man shall see the Lord. And Peter said, I'm a partaker, I'm an elder, I'm a witness. Every witness and every elder must be a partaker of his holiness. And that is what will give the assurance that he'll be a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed. Verse 14, for the peace with all men and holiness without which no man shall see the Lord. It tells us in 2 Peter chapter 1. 2 Peter chapter 1 verse 3, according as his divine power has given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of him that has called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye may be partakers of the divine nature. Partakers of the divine nature. And the Apostle Peter said, I'm going to be a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed. How do I know that? That is still future. Because I'm a partaker at the present time of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. As he talks about the calling, he talks about the character. What's the character? Holiness. Because it's a partaker of his holiness. And then what's the character? It's a kind of character that is free from corruption, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. And then it's a willing servant. We're coming back to 1 Peter chapter 5. And I'm reading from verse 2. 1 Peter chapter 5 verse 2. Feed the flock of God, which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, taking the oversight thereof, so that you know the members of the flock, taking the oversight thereof, so that you are interacting with the members of your church, your local church. You are interacting with the youths and with the children that God has raised you up to lead. You are interacting with the women that God has raised you up to lead. And you take the oversight thereof. You supervise everyone. And you supervise their lives. And their situation and their state is not strange to you. And they are not hiding themselves from you either. Then it goes on in that verse 2. And it says, not by constraint, but willingly. A willing servant. That's what we ought to be. It's not like somebody is forcing us to do it. It's not like somebody is compelling us against our will. But we are willing servants. It tells us in 1 Corinthians chapter 9. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, reading from verse 16. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, We're reading from verse 16. It tells us in verse 16, for though I be free from all men, though I be free from all men, it's saying that there's nobody forcing him to do anything. The Lord has set him free. The Lord has liberated him. But even though he is free from all men, yet have I made myself servant unto all. Made myself servant unto all, for that I might gain them all. I want to get them saved. I want to get them into the kingdom of God. And then he tells us in verse 20 says, and unto the Jews became I as a Jew, that I might gain the Jews. To them that are under the law, as under the law, I compel myself, I school myself, I'm temperate in all things. And he says, that I might gain them that are under the law, to them that are without law, as without law, not being without law to God, but under the law to Christ, that I might gain them that are without law. To the weak became I as weak, that I might gain the weak. I have made all things unto all men, that by all means I might save some. You see that? A willing servant. And so you're always looking at the field, you're always looking at the people, and you're always looking at the opportunity to get souls saved. Come back to that verse 16. For though I preach the gospel, I have nothing to glory of, for necessity is laid upon me. Yea, woe is me if I preach not the gospel. For if I do this thing willingly, a willing servant, I have a reward. But if against my will a dispensation of the gospel is committed unto me. A willing servant. In 2 Corinthians chapter 8. 2 Corinthians chapter 8. You're not being compelled, but you are giving yourself freely and fully and willingly. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, reading from verse 3. For to their power I bear record, yea, and beyond their power, they were willing of themselves. Not compelled, not constrained. They were willing of themselves. Verse 5. And this they did, not as we hoped, but first gave their own selves to the Lord. They committed themselves fully, totally, completely unto the Lord, and unto us by the will of God. Number one, the elders, bishops, teachers, pastors, they are referred to as elders, witness of his suffering, understanding Jesus died on the cross, and they are partakers of the glory that shall be revealed, because they are partakers of the experience of the child of God now, and they are willing servants. Number five, servants of a ready mind. With a ready mind. It tells us in the latter part of 1 Peter chapter 5. 1 Peter chapter 5, latter part of verse 2. Not for filthy lucre, that is, not for money, not for material gain, not what they can get out of the provision in the church or from the members of the church, but of a ready mind. But of a ready mind. Those are the people that have the mind of Christ. Ready. In Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2. Reading from verse 3. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory. We're not striving for money. We're not striving for material gain. We're not striving because of what I can get out of it, what you can get out of it. I'm laboring more than him. and he's getting more money than I am getting. Not like that. And not for vainglory, not for pride. I know what I can do. I know my strength. I know my power. And I know that all these things they're giving me, they're not even up to what I am rendering, not for vainglory, but in lowliness of mind. Let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own thing. Look not every man on his own thing. Whatever is our commission, whatever is our calling, whatever is our area of work, we're not looking at our area and we're not saying, when are they going to give us what we deserve? How are they giving that group and that section more than they're giving us? We will not have that. We must fight it out. If it takes rioting, we're going to riot. The people who have the calling of God are not like that. They have a ready mind to serve. And it says, well, they have this mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. And it tells us in verse 5, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Not for filthy lucre. Number 6, not being as lords over God's heritage. We're coming to 1 Peter chapter 5, and we're reading from verse 3. Neither as being lords over God's heritage. No, we're called servants, and we're to serve the people of God, and we're to lower ourselves and hide whatever is making us proud and pompous and being above the people of God, not being as lords over God's heritage. Hey, look at 3 John, reading from verse 9. 3 John, verse 9. The people that wear the scale on their face and they wear their qualification on their face with their dress, and they carry themselves as if they go on commanding, compelling everybody in the church, and you must bow to them. That's not the attitude of Christ. In 3 John verse 9, it tells us in verse 9, I wrote unto the church, but Diotrephes, who loveth to have preeminence among them, receiveth us not. Don't come here. We don't want a personality clash. We're already here. We're exalted and we're high and we're preeminent there. So John, stay where you are. He loveth to have preeminence among them. Because of that, he receiveth us not. And he was a man that carried himself with a negative authority, destructive authority. Look at verse 10. Wherefore, if I come, I will remember his deeds, which he doeth, preaching against us with malicious words. Can you think of a leader? Can you think of an elder? Can you think of a preacher, a pastor in the church? You see malicious words, arrogant words, and words that will cut down other people, other leaders. And he says, and not content therewith, neither does he himself receive the brethren, and forbiddeth them that would. He forbiddeth them that would. He's always going around and he's carrying this great, a pompous personality. And those who will receive the other preachers of the same truth, it will come, it will forbid them and cast them out of the church. What an authority. What a person that has the attitude of being a lord over the people of God. And let's come back to 1 Peter chapter 5, and we're reading from verse 3. 1 Peter chapter 5, we're looking at verse 3. Neither as being lords over God's heritage, but being examples to the flock. examples to the flock. That's who we are, and that's what we ought to be. Look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, reading from verse 7. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, we're reading from verse 7. We're to be examples to the flock. Example of Christian grace. Example of Christian character. Example of Christian humility. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 7. But were gentle among you. That's been an example. Even as a nurse cherishes her children. That's been an example. So being affectionately desirous of you, we were willing to have imparted unto you not the gospel of God only, willing teachers, willing preachers, willing pastors, willing overseers, but also our own souls, because you were dear unto us. An example of hospitality, an example of love, an example of caring for the church. For we remember, brethren, our labor and travail, for laboring night and day, because we will not be chargeable unto any of you. An example of sacrificial labor. We will not be chargeable unto any of you. It's not that, okay, this one is going on in the church, I have this card, I have this business, what can I have? After all, if you are going to have somebody who will take over that kind of job and supply this and supply that, the force says something should come to a person like me. Because who are the people laboring? And we are the people teaching the people. We will not be chargeable to any of you. We preached unto you the gospel of God. Ye are witnesses. And God also, how holily and justly and unblameably we behaved ourselves from you that believe. We behave ourselves in the proper way because we're examples to the flock. Point number two now. Our commission and commitment to freely feed the lambs. We're coming back to 1 Peter. And we're reading chapter 5, the first line in verse 2. Feed the flock of God which is among you. Feed the flock of God which is among you. Remember, he's talking to elders, he's talking to preachers, he's talking to pastors. And there's a pastor there, there's a pastor there, a pastor in another place, and he's talking to all of them. Wherever you are, in whatever congregation you are, prepare to give the bread of life to the congregation where you are. And that's why he says to the flock of God which is among you. Everyone understands that that means we're to teach the word of God, we're to preach the word of God. But why are we doing that? Because man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God shall man live. How do you understand then what we are to do? Number one, feed with the word. Feed with the word. You're feeding the church of God, you're feeding the people of God with the word. You must know the word yourself. The word of salvation for those who are not saved. The word of sanctification, you're very clear about it, for those who need to be sanctified. And the word of healing, for those who need to be healed. The word of deliverance, for those who need to be delivered. Feed the church with the word of God. Look at chapter 4 of Matthew. Matthew chapter 4, I'm reading from verse 4. Feed with the word. But he answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Out of the mouth of God. Out of the mouth of God. Underline that in your Bible. Why? as to take the whole Bible, the Bible records what unbelievers said. Like what Pharaoh said, who is that God? That's not word out of the mouth of God. It's recorded for us to understand. There are people that do not believe God that also spoke. And then you understand also the words that Satan spoke. And he said, is Job serving you for nothing? Take this away from him, and then he will curse you to your face. That's not a word from the mouth of God. That's a word from the mouth of the devil. And then when Jeremiah said, I will not make mention of his name anymore. I'm tired. They're not listening to me. They're not hearing me. I will not take his word in my mouth and talk to anybody anymore. That's not the word coming out of the mouth of God. That came out of the mouth of Jeremiah. And as you go through the Bible, you'll find the words that came out of the mouth of Herod, the word that came out of the mouth of Nebuchadnezzar, and the word that came out of the Pharisees in their tradition. But if you are to feed the church of God, if you are to feed the people of God, you feed them with the word that comes out of the mouth of God. Number two, exalt the word above everyone and above yourself. Exalt the word above everyone and above yourself. We're looking at Psalm 138, Psalm 138, and I'm reading from verse 2. Psalm 138, verse 2. I will worship toward thy holy temple and praise thy name for thy loving kindness and for thy truth. For thou hast magnified thy word above all thy name. Thou hast magnified thy word above all thy name. As you come to the local church, as you come to the central church, have that same attitude. That we all together were to make the atmosphere conducive to feeding the church with the word of God. And whatever else we do in the church, you exalt the word above every other thing, because even God exalts the word, magnifies the word above his name. Number three, it means to preach the word. At every opportunity to preach the word. And there may be things going on in our community, in our state, in our nation. And there may be things going on that maybe people are talking about. There's some people who are kind of committed to football. And when football is going on in the community, that's what they talk about. And then this nation is playing against that other nation. When they come to church, that's what they talk about. They're talking about football. They're talking about game. There are other times that some other things are happening in your community. And there are people that will come on Sunday and they use precious pulpit time to talk about politics, about this, about that. But you know what we're to do? Every time, every opportunity, if we're to feed the flock of God, we preach the word. Number one, feed with the word. Number two, exalt the word. Number three, preach the word. It's in 2 Timothy chapter 4. 2 Timothy chapter 4, and I'm reading from verse 2. Preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long suffering and doctrine. Doctrine. Don't sweep doctrine under the carpet. Bring it out. Teach the people. Show the people the doctrine, the word of God. Preach the word. Number four is to speak the word only. Underline the word only. Speak the word only. Not the word and opinions. Not the word and tradition. Not the word and opinions. Not the word and denominational dogma. Speak the word only. That's how we're going to feed the church of God. And the church of God will not have the difficulty of sifting, of saying, which one am I going to take now? Is that opinion? Is that Bible doctrine? Is that tradition? Is that Bible doctrine? Is that denominational dogma? Or is it the word of God? They will not have that confusion if we speak the word only. The word only underlined. We're looking at Matthew chapter 8, and I'm reading from verse 8. Matthew chapter 8, verse 8. The centurion answered and said, Lord, I am not worthy that thou shouldest come under my roof, but speak the word only. Speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed. That's how healing comes. Speak the word only, and our hearers will be saved. That's how salvation comes. Speak the word only, and believers will be sanctified. Sanctify them through thy truth. But when we mix ideologies and opinions and all that, and people do not know what to believe and what to take, that's how they are not saved. That's how they are not healed. That's how they are not sanctified. And that's how they do not have the blessings of God. Speak the word only. Teach the word. Teach the word. Teach the word. At every opportunity, you're teaching the word. That's how we feed the flock of God. Acts of the Apostles, chapter 18. Acts chapter 18, and I'm reading from verse 11. Acts of the Apostles, chapter 18, and we're reading from verse 11. In verse 11, here is what the word of God is saying. In verse 11, and he continued there a year and 6 months, teaching the word of God among them. He didn't run out of subject. Teaching the word of God among them. As you have the whole Bible in your hand from Genesis to Revelation, you shouldn't miss any time or lose any opportunity. There is enough of the word of God in the Bible. And there is enough of the teaching that the Lord has given us. And you teach the word at every opportunity. But then you keep the word. You keep the word. Because if you are teaching and you are not keeping, if you are telling other people to do it, but you don't have the grace to do it, the strength and the power to do it, who will believe? They'll say, that's a great ideal. That's a great teaching. But you know, even the teacher himself is not able to practice what he teaches. Look at Luke chapter 11, verse 28. Luke 11, verse 28. And he said, yea, rather, blessed are they that hear the word of God and keep it. Blessed are they that teach the word of God and keep it, and then declare the word boldly. Declare the word boldly. You know, as you talk, people can tell from the tone of your voice, from the look of your eyes, from the body language, whether you are timid or courageous. Whether you are sure or uncertain, whether you are persuaded yourself or you are doubting, and whether you are speaking boldly, courageously, affirming the truth, or you are just reading it and you glue your eyes to the book or to your notes, you're afraid to look at the people, you are to speak to the people, and you are to help them to understand that this is the real thing. You shouldn't be intimidated. You should preach that word, declare that word boldly. We're coming to Acts chapter 4. Acts of the Apostles chapter 4. We're reading from verse 29. If you lack the boldness, then pray. The Lord will make us bold in Jesus' name. Verse 29. And now, Lord, behold their threatenings, and grant unto thy servants that with all boldness they speak thy word. with all boldness to speak thy word. Understand, you might be the only agent of God that can speak to them for their salvation. You might be the only minister they will listen to and they'll get sanctified. You might be the only one they listen to and they will have what will qualify them for heaven. That's the reason why you will speak with all boldness. Look at verse 31. And when they had prayed, the place was shaking where they were assembled together. That was real praying. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. And they speak the word of God. Tell me how. With boldness. The Lord will do that in our lives in Jesus' name. One, feed the flock with the word. Two, exalt the word before the flock. Three, preach the word at all seasons to the flock. Four, speak the word only. The word only underlined. Teach, number five, teach the word and teach that word confidently. Six, keep the word, obey that word. Because if the preacher cannot obey the word, how are we sure that the members will be able to obey? And then number seven, declare the word boldly. Number eight, give all that you have to the word. Give all you have to the word. You know, sometimes you think you have little physical strength, and then you are managing the strength. What are you managing the strength for? It is the best thing you can do in life. And this is the glorious thing the Lord has called you to. Give yourself to it. Abandon yourself to it. And preach the word with all the strength you have, all the skill you have, all the ability you have, all the knowledge you have. Give everything you have and preach the word. The Lord will honor your ministry. Acts chapter 6. I'm reading from verse 4. Acts chapter 6, verse 4. But we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word. We'll give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word. Acts chapter 8, verse 4. Therefore, they that were scattered abroad went everywhere preaching the word. They lost all. They were chased away from their houses. They were driven away from Jerusalem. And they were scattered abroad everywhere, almost homeless. But then they forgot what they had lost, and they gave themselves to preach the word with all confidence and courage. The Lord will help you. And then you exemplify the word. Exemplify the word. Whatever you are teaching, exemplify it. Show, this is how it can be done. This is how it ought to be done. That's how to feed the flock of God. In Hebrews chapter 13, verse 7. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 7. Remember them which have the rule over you. Who are those? Elders, bishops, pastors, teachers of the word, who have spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith follow. They're teaching faith and they're living by faith. They're standing by faith and they're helping other people to stand by faith. Whose faith follow, considering the end of their conversation. Exemplify the word. Suffer cheerfully for the word's sake. Suffer cheerfully for the word's sake. Should in case the preaching of the word brings any affliction, any persecution, any suffering, take it and accept that. I say, praise the Lord, that's the word is working. They understand the word. Even though they may disagree with the word, yet they understand that's why they're receiving that persecution. You suffer cheerfully for the word. We're looking at Acts chapter 5. Acts chapter 5, reading from verse 40. Acts chapter 5, I'm reading from verse 40. It says, and to him they agreed. And when they had called the apostles and had beaten them, they commanded that they should not speak in the name of Jesus and let them go. They commanded them that they should not speak in the name of Jesus. Whosoever commandment you obey, you show that you are a servant and a slave of that whosoever. The Lord had commanded them, and he had said that they will teach all things he had commanded them. That commandment had come to them, and they were carrying out the commandment, which means that they accepted Christ as their master. They accepted Christ as their Lord. Another authority now came, another personality now came, another pressure group now came and said, whatever commandment you have before now, forget all about that. We now command you that you must not preach in this name. And remember, whoever you obey, that's your master, that's your Lord. Whoever you obey, you're going to spend the rest of eternity with your master and with your Lord. If it's Christ, you'll spend eternity with him. If it's the Pharisees who are opposed to Christ, you'll spend eternity with them. Now they commanded them, don't speak in that name. Look at verse 41. And they departed from the presence of the council, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for his name. And daily in the temple and in every house, they ceased not, they stopped not to teach and preach Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ was their master, and so they obeyed their master. Jesus Christ is our Lord and Master, and so we obey our Lord and Master. Any other authority we don't recognize. Any other commander or captain we don't understand. Any other compelling counsel we don't agree to. We're going to obey the Lord every time, all the time, in Jesus' name. Feed the flock of God with the word. Exalt the word above every other sin in your life, every other sin in your family, every other sin in the local church. Preach the word in season and out of season, and speak the word only. Don't add tradition, don't add opinion, don't add the ideas of men. Teach the word, and teach confidently, and teach courageously. Keep the word, obey the word. Be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only. Because if we did that, we'll be deceiving ourselves. Declare the word boldly, courageously, with no timidity or fear of man. Give yourself everything you've God to the word. Be fully committed. Exemplify the word and suffer cheerfully for the word. Point number three now, the compensation and crowning of focused and fruitful leaders. The compensation and crowning of focused and fruitful leaders. We're looking at 1 Peter chapter 5. I'm reading from verse 1. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 1. The elders which are among you, I exhort, who am also an elder and a witness of the suffering of Christ, and also a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed. A partaker of the glory that shall be revealed. Verse 4, and when the chief shepherd shall appear, ye shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. Amen. What's our compensation? We're preaching the word. We're serving the church. We're evangelizing. We're defining the church. We're planting churches here and there. And we're counseling. And we're helping people to grow in the Lord. And we give ourselves unreservedly to the ministry of the word. What's our compensation then? What's the commendation? What's the reward? What a lot of things. Number one, God working with us. Even here in this life, as we serve the Lord unreservedly, we have the compensation of God working with us. Mark chapter 16, verse 20. And they went forth and preached everywhere, the Lord walking with them. What a privilege, what an experience. The Lord walking with them and confirming the word with signs following. He will go with you. He will walk with you. You'll not be walking like a lone ranger. You'll not be walking like an orphan. His power will go with you. Amen. His confirmation will go with you. And his miracle might and miracle ministry will go with you in Jesus' name. Amen. What's our compensation? As we faithfully declare the word of God, number one, God walking with us. Number two, the Spirit with Christ interceding for us. The Spirit, the Holy Ghost, with Christ interceding for us. In Romans chapter 8, Romans chapter 8, reading from verse 26. Romans chapter 8, verse 26, likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. As you go out and you proclaim the word, as you go to the local church, and you proclaim the word, here is the benefit, and here is the compensation the Lord gives, that the Spirit, the Holy Ghost, helps to infirmity. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints and of course for the servants according to the will of God. That's the privilege, that's the advantage, that we're serving the Lord, and he takes whatever problems might remain in your own personal life, he takes that to the Heavenly Father and he makes intercession for you. Look at verse 34. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. Maketh intercession for us. You remember, Joshua went to the battlefield, and then Moses was sitting on, was standing, and whenever he lifted up his hand and the rod of God, Joshua will be winning, conquering, overcoming. But whenever his hand went down, then Joshua will be losing the battle until Aaron and all came. And he lifted up the hand permanently, and the victory was permanent and complete. But now it's not Moses interceding for us, it's not Og, and it's not Aaron, And it's not Abraham that interceded for Sodom and Gomorrah, and it's not Daniel or Nehemiah interceding for Israel. It's the Lord Jesus Christ himself. And it's the Holy Ghost himself interceding for us. We have the victory in Jesus' name. What's the compensation? As we're serving the Lord unreservedly, God walking with us and confirming the word, we're signs following the Spirit, the Holy Ghost, with Christ interceding for us. Any more advantage, any more compensation? Number three, Christ's abiding presence. Christ's abiding presence. That's the compensation that he told us is going to be with us as we go out and do what he has called us to do. Matthew chapter 28, and we're reading from verse 20. Matthew chapter 28, reading from verse 20. Teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And while we're doing that faithfully, while we're doing that unreservedly, while we're doing that courageously, while we're doing that boldly, it says, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. And the church said, amen. It says he'll be with us, he'll not leave us alone. And so we boldly say, the Lord is my helper. He has said he will never leave us, he'll never leave you. Hebrews chapter 13. Hebrews 13, I'm reading from verse 5. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5. Let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as ye have. For he has said, I will never leave you, nor forsake you. So that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. The Lord will be your helper. And I will not fear what man shall do unto me. You will not fear what man shall do unto you in Jesus' name. And then the more compensation, we have the comfort, the guidance, and the teaching of the Holy Ghost. We have the comfort, and we have the guidance, and we have the teaching of the Holy Ghost. We're looking at John chapter 14. John chapter 14, obedience to the Lord pays. Obedience to the Lord will bring all these present compensations unto us. It tells us in verse 15, John chapter 14, if ye love me, keep my commandments, and I will pray the Father. While we're keeping those commandments of Christ, I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. The Holy Ghost will never leave you. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but ye know him, for he dwelleth with you, and shall be in you. Verse 26, for the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things. He'll not allow you to be ignorant. He'll not allow you to be confused. As you're obeying the Lord, he says, he will teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance. Whatever you ought to remember, you will not forget. Your victory, you will not forget. Your triumph, you will not forget. The power that you ought to manifest, you will not forget. And whatsoever I have said unto you, he will be with you. Look at chapter 16, verse 13. Chapter 16, verse 13. How be it when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth. For he will not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. He'll give us as we obey him. He'll give us as we're carrying out his work. He'll give us the comfort, the guidance, and the teaching of the Holy Ghost. Number five, it'll give us the present ministry of angels. Not future. The present ministry of angels. Hebrews chapter 1, reading from verse 13. Hebrews chapter 1, verse 13. But to which of the angels said he at any time, sit on my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool? Are they not all ministry spirits, those angels, sent forth to minister to them who shall be heirs of salvation? His angels at the present time will minister unto you. In the night, they will stay around you. In the day, they will go before you. Any danger, they will cancel the danger in Jesus' name. That's our present compensation. Look at Acts of the Apostles, chapter 12, and I'm reading from verse 7. Acts of the Apostles, chapter 12, reading from verse 7. And behold, the angel of the Lord came upon him. This is Peter. And a light shined in the prison, and he smote Peter on the side and raised him up, saying, arise up quickly. And the chains fell off from his hands, like it will happen to you every time. And the angel said unto him, gird thyself and bind on thy sandals. And so he did. And he said unto him, cast thy garment about thee and follow me. And he went out and followed him and wist not that it was true. He thought it was dreaming, which was done by the angel, but thought he saw a vision of the night. When day were past, the first and the second watch, they came unto the iron gate that leadeth into the city, and they opened to them of his own accord. Those gates will open. Those iron bars will be broken. And the iron door will always open before you in Jesus' name. The key is in the hand of the angel, and those angels will lead you out to safety. And they went out and passed through one street, and forthwith the angel departed from him. And when Peter was come to himself, he said, now I know of a surety that the Lord has sent his angel and has delivered me out of the hand of Herod and from all the expectation of the people of the Jews. You will have the present ministry of angels as compensation. And then we'll have the compensation of the Spirit dwelling inside us. The Spirit dwelling inside us. Romans chapter 8, reading from verse 11. Romans chapter 8, verse 11. But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, the Spirit so powerful to roll away the stone, the Spirit so powerful that all those girls were blown down and they fell on their faces, the Spirit so powerful that Jesus was brought outside from out of the grave, if that Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, where is the Spirit of God now? I say, where is the Spirit of God now? In you. He that raised up Jesus Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by the Spirit that dwelleth in you. When he quickens your mortal body, all those weaknesses and infirmities will vanish away in Jesus' name. Amen. Number seven, sufficient provision for all your needs. Sufficient provision for all your needs. You will not lack anymore. Serve the Lord and look at the promise he's going to fulfill. In Mark chapter 10, reading from verse 28. Mark chapter 10, verse 28. Then Peter began to say unto him, lo, we have left all and we have followed thee. Jesus answered and said, verily, I say unto you, there is no man that has left house, brethren, sisters, father, mother, wife, children, lands, for my sake and the gospel's, but Vastachi, tell me, you will receive an hundredfold now in this time. Houses, brethren, amen, sisters, amen, mothers, amen, children, amen, lands, amen, with persecution, and in the world to come, eternal life. Somebody shout amen. Amen. You'll have earthly rewards, you'll have heavenly rewards. First Peter chapter 5, I'm reading from verse 4. And when the chief shepherd shall appear, he shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. Number one, compensation for today. God working with us. The Spirit with Christ interceding for us. Christ's presence abiding in us. The comfort, the guidance, the teaching of the Holy Ghost. The present ministry of angels, the quickening spirit, the healing spirit dwelling in us, sufficient provision for all our needs. And now to crown it all, crowns of glory, crowns of honor, and crowns of future splendor. Crowns. When he talks of crowns, he's talking about a lot of things. Look at Psalm 103. I'm reading from verse 4. Who redeemeth thy life from destruction. I was waiting for your amen. Amen. And crowneth thee in this present life. And crowneth thee at this present time. And crowneth thee while you're serving and believing him. And crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies. Who satisfieth thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed as the eagles. Psalm 132, we're reading from verse 18. Psalm 132, we're reading from verse 18. His enemies were like clothes was shame. Your enemies were like clothes was shame. But upon himself shall his crown flourish. Upon yourself, your crown will flourish. Even now in this present time, honor will crown you. Glory will crown you. The goodness of the Lord will crown you. Isaiah chapter 62, reading from verses 3 and 4. Isaiah chapter 62, verse 3. thou shalt also be a crown of glory in the hand of the Lord, and a royal diadem in the hand of thy God. Thou shalt no more be termed forsaken, neither shall thy land any more be termed desolate, but thou shalt be called Hephzibah, and thy land Beulah, for the Lord delighteth in thee. The Lord is happy with you. The Lord delights in you, and thy land shall be married. You will not lack all these blessings of God in Jesus' name. Now on earth, crowns of glory, crowns of splendor, crowns of honor, crowns of exaltation, and then when we cross to the other side, a glorious crown waiting for you in Jesus' name. Amen. Revelation chapter 3, reading from verse 11. Revelation chapter 3, verse 11. Behold, I come quickly. Hold fast. Hold that fast which thou hast, that no man take your crown. No man will take your crown. No man will take your reward. No man will take your compensation. Everything the Lord has promised, he will grant unto you in Jesus' name. Him that overcometh will I make a pillar in the temple of my God, and he shall go no more out, and I will write upon him the name of my God, and the name of the city of my God, which is New Jerusalem, which cometh down out of heaven from my God, and I will write upon him my new name. He that has an ear to hear, let him hear what the Spirit says unto the churches. He that has an ear to hear. Anyone there having ears to hear? Have you heard? I said, have you heard of the blessings you are going to receive? Have you heard of the compensation he's going to give you? I said, have you heard? You have heard. They will all be yours in Jesus' name. Let's rise up now and talk to the Lord in prayer. You have heard of all the blessings of God that he said he will give. You have heard of our commission. You have heard of our calling. You have heard of our character. You have heard of our commitment. And you have heard of what he says he's going to do. The compensation, the crowning for those who are focused, for those who are fruitful, for those who are feeding the flock of God, and for those who are fervent and faithful unto the Lord. Open your mouth and talk to the Lord. Remember, he wants you to be a real elder that is fervent in the work of the Lord, a real witness of the Lord Jesus Christ, a partaker of his nature, and a partaker of his holiness. Open your mouth and talk to the Lord in prayer. Tell the Lord that all these things you receive, he's called us. He has commissioned us. And we're going to stay by his commission. And we're going to accept the commission. And we're going to live by that commission. And we're going to do it unreservedly. We're going to do it with all our heart, all our soul, and all our mind. It's the greatest work anyone can do on earth. The greatest commitment anyone can have on earth. It's the greatest assignment anyone can have on this side of heaven. Greater than any other domestic sin, earthly sin, physical sin, natural sin. Give yourself to it unreservedly. Underline your calling. Underscore your calling. An elder. Be a real elder. Righteous elder. A real elder that people can tell in your character. You have the word. You're holding on to the word. You're living out the word. Your life is clean, clear, holy, righteous. Be a witness to the Lord Jesus Christ, His sacrifice, His suffering, His substitution, what He did to save sinners. Be a witness, a courageous witness. A faithful witness. An obedient witness. A scriptural witness. Holy, sanctified, committed witness. You not make yourself a nuisance, driving this and compelling this and commanding that. You're not forcing the people of God. You're not forcing God's heritage. You're not forcing the flock of God. You're not overbearing, overdriving. Pray that the Lord will give you the grace to remember and be gentle, be meek, be loving, as a nurse cherishes a children, that God will give you such a pastoral heart, like Jesus, meek and lowly, yet truthful and faithful. And you'll be an example to the flock in your life, an example of righteousness, an example of temperance, an example of sobriety, an example of holiness, an example of a committed, dedicated, diligent teacher of the word. Be an example. And preach the word. Preach the word. Teach the word. Commit yourself afresh to exalting the word above all things around you. Speak the word only. No politics on the pulpit. No sports on the pulpit. No social media rumors on the pulpit. Preach the word and exalt that word above every other sin, above your friends, above members of the family. Don't look at faces before you preach. Preach the word. Whoever needs repentance will have to repent. Whoever needs restoration will have to be restored. And preach that word boldly, courageously, persuasively. Exemplify the word. Sure, it is possible to live by the word. Whatever the challenge, sure, it is possible to stand firmly on the revealed word, trusting no challenge will come that will not take you through. Don't look back. Don't surrender yourself to the enemy. Keep on keeping on. His promise will be yes and amen in your life. In Jesus' name we pray. And the happy people of God said,
amen.
The believing servants of God said,
amen.
What God has said, He will do.
Amen.
And what you have heard, you will practice and you will do in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Father, we thank you for this hour of teaching, this hour of revelation. We thank you for everything we've heard. We pray, O Lord, we'll be doers of the word in Jesus' name.
Amen.
All those titles you have called us, all those names you have called us, all those symbolic things you have made known unto us that we are, I pray, Lord, in a very definite and real sense, will be like that in Jesus' name.
Amen.
The power to carry it out, the strength to carry it out,
Amen.
The skill to carry it out,
Amen.
The grace to carry it out,
Amen.
The enlightenment to carry it out,
Amen.
And the light that goes in a way that we carry it out with faith without wavering. We pray you grant to everyone in Jesus' name.
Amen.
This word you have given us will never leave our mouth. We'll preach the word. We'll teach the word. We'll exalt the word. We'll speak the word only. We'll spread the word everywhere. We'll publish the word everywhere. We'll labor in the word fervently and faithfully in Jesus' name. We pray that in season and out of season, the courage to keep on standing by the word and proclaiming the word and preaching the word, declaring it and declaring boldly, courageously, you grant to everyone in Jesus' name.
Amen.
We're sure that you will not fail us. We're sure you will not be unfaithful to us. You're faithful, God. You are ever faithful. And all the promises you have given, we know they're going to be yes and amen in every one of our lives in Jesus' name.
Amen.
As your servants go, your sons and daughters, as they go and they work for you, I pray according to your promise and according to what you've done for the apostles of old, your power will go with them.
Amen.
The Lord will be working with every one of us. And Lord, I pray that the intercession of the Holy Ghost and the intercession of Christ will avail for everyone in Jesus' name.
Amen.
The mighty presence of Christ in us, when He has said He will never leave us and He will never forsake us, and so we can boldly say the Lord is our helper. We will not fear what man will do. Lord, I pray the hand of evil men will not touch your people. The hand of evil people will not touch your people.
Amen.
You will surround us. You will supply. You will supply every need of our lives in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Lord Jesus, we know you are still interceding for us. Holy Ghost, we know you are still interceding for us, and you abide inside us. Every weakness is canceled.
Amen.
Every infirmity is canceled.
Amen.
For the Spirit that raised up Jesus Christ abides and dwells in us. It will quicken our mortal body.
Amen.
New strength.
Amen.
New vigor.
Amen.
New health.
Amen.
New ability.
Amen.
New dynamism.
Amen.
In every one of us, in Jesus' name.
Amen.
All our needs you will supply.
Amen.
All our prayers you will answer.
Amen.
Lord, we lay everything down again at the altar. And we're asking, oh Lord, we'll never look back.
Amen.
We will not cringe.
Amen.
We will not crumble.
Amen.
We will not forsake the world.
Amen.
You will crown our efforts with success in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Crowns of glory for your people.
Amen.
Crowns of honor for your people.
Amen.
Crowns of splendor for your people.
Amen.
Joy, happiness, satisfaction, fulfillment in the work of the Lord for everyone in Jesus' name. Whatever present need of your problem as you're serving the Lord supply abundantly. And the Lord give you all the good desires of your heart in Jesus' name. The solution you're seeking for that naughty, terrible problem, receive it now in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Lord, we thank you because we know you have answered. In Jesus' mighty name, we pray.
Amen.